This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Afreilichen Zois Chanukah. So, I would like to be able to be with you for the full time today, but I'm flying later this afternoon, so we're going to do instead two very brief shiurim. We're moving the Friday shiur to Monday. First, I want to welcome, I have my dear friend live, Dr. Reuven Fatakov, is here with us live in studios, and we wish him bracha v'hatzlacha. Welcome, everybody. So we have Hayom Katzar v'hamalacha Meruba. We're going to have two short shiurim on Parshas Vayigash. One, we're going to do original insights on the Parsha, and then the imponderables on the Parsha. So let us begin. Rashi, in the beginning of the Parsha, says, on the words, V'al yichar apcha, Yehuda says to Yosef, don't get angry at me. You know, whenever somebody says, don't get angry at me, that means they're saying something that really should elicit anger. So Rashi says, from here we learn that he spoke to him harshly. So one simple question. Rashi then is troubled. What does Yehuda mean? Ki kamoicha kefaroi. You are like Paro to me. So Rashi gives different interpretations. Rashi says, you're going to be smitten with saras like Paro was. Rashi says, just like Paro decrees and doesn't fulfill, you decree and you don't fulfill. This is what you meant when you said, bring down Binyamin, I want to look at him. What you meant, you're going to put him in prison? So Yehuda is speaking harshly to him. Then Rashi brings a fourth pshat. You're like Paro. If you get me angry, I'll kill you and Paro. So Rashi's second, third, and fourth pshat all interpret the pasuk that Yehuda is speaking to Yosef harshly. Either you're going to be smitten like Paro, or Paro, you don't keep your word like Paro, or I'll kill you and Paro. But Rashi in his first pshat learns, ki kamaycha kefaroi, I honor you, I value you, I respect you like Paro. So that's not harsh, that's a compliment. So how could Rashi say in the Rashi before, from here we learn Yehuda spoke harshly to Yosef, but what do you mean? According to Rashi's first interpretation, in the words, ki kamaycha kefaroi, he was saying, you're very chashuv to me, like Paroi. So I think from here we learn a very important insight. Sometimes, the biggest criticism is when you get a compliment. Sometimes, a compliment, you always have to be careful for a compliment. Because if the compliment is not sincere, sometimes it's just a setup to really give you something very harsh. So yes, Yehuda's complimenting Yosef. You're chashuv to me like Paroi. But you know, it's like with all due respect, it's really just a setup to speak harshly. Okay, now here's one of the biggest questions I've had on this parsha. You know, they're about to leave Mitzrayim at the end of Parshas Miketz. And they open up their sacks, and they find the goblet. And all of a sudden, the police catch up with them, and they bring them all back. And so Yehuda says, no, we didn't take the goblet, right? Because at that point, they didn't see it yet. And Yehuda says, no. Whoever has the goblet should die, and everybody else should be slaves. Now, the first question is, why would Yehuda say that? Who asked Yehuda to say that? Why is Yehuda offering that? What if they're being framed? Yehuda didn't know for sure that the goblet wasn't in their knapsack. And then sure enough, they find the goblet in Binyamin's sack. So think about what happened. They may have been framed, but from Yosef's point of view, these 12 people came in and robbed him of his most precious possession. So look at the beginning of Vayigash. Yehuda's giving this whole emotional plea to Yosef. You know, you asked us if we have any other brothers, and we said, yeah, we have one more brother, and we have an old father, and we brought the brother, and if we don't bring him back, our father's going to die. I mean, it sounds absurd. Imagine if in a court case, somebody was convicted of a federal crime. He stole, let's say, he snuck into the president's house, and he stole the president's an heirloom. And then he goes in front of the judge, you know, but I have a brother, and I have an old father, and my old father, you know what's going to happen to my old father if you don't make me innocent? If you don't acquit me? I mean, that's nonsense. Well, why is Yehuda using this emotional plea? You think any dictator in the world would go for such a plea? Somebody's being tried of a capital offense against the king. He's Moired B'Malchus. They stole Yosef's divining goblet. And Yehuda's giving this emotional plea. You know, but we have an old father at home, so please let us go free. It sounds absurd. Would that work in any court? Would that work in any judicial system? Would that work to any dictator? Why would Yehuda think that this would be a successful plea to this this depot of Egypt? So is it possible to say as follows? You know, throughout this whole ordeal, when the brothers came before Yosef, Yosef put Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun on one table. He put the Bnei Bilhah separate. He put the Bnei Zilpah separate. And then Yosef sat with Binyamin. So Rashi says, Yosef said, you know, look, he's the only son of his mother, and I'm the only son of my mother. So that gave the Shvatim some personal information about Yosef. They knew Yosef was the only son of his mother, and Yosef had a soft spot for Binyamin. Now, in their eyes, did this king have a father? He never said, Yosef never said, you know, I'm the king of Egypt, I have a father. But he was always asking, how's your old father? How's your old father? How's your old father? So the little information they knew about this man, this dictator, was that he has a soft spot for Binyamin, and that he's interested in their old father. As if either this depot, as cruel as he may seem in their eyes, he must have a soft spot for an old father, because that's all he's interested in. And it seems like Yehuda, as a last resort, figured that where arguing is not going to help, somehow he could press that button. Since Yosef kept on asking, Ha'oid avicha chai, ha'oid avicha chai, ha'oid avicha chai. So now Yehuda's saying, really? You really care about our father? Just want you to know, if we don't bring Binyamin back, that father who, for whatever reason you're interested in, maybe because you have an old father or something happened to your father, Yehuda felt that he would be able to take advantage of that. Okay, that's just an idea. Another interesting idea. Parak Mem Vav, Pasuk Aleph. So it says that Yaakovinu heard the good news that Yosef's still alive. Vayisa Yisra v'chal asher loy. And they come to Be'er Sheva. Vayizbach Zavachim, and they bring karbanos to who? Leiloi Ke Aviv Yitzchak. They bring karbanos. Yaakov brings karbanos to the God of his father Yitzchak. Rashi's bothered. Why does the pasuk say to the God of his father Yitzchak? It should say the God of his grandfather of Avraham. Says Rashi, from here we learn a person has more of an obligation to his father than to his grandfather. Simple question on Rashi. Okay, I understand the person's obligated to his father more than his grandfather, but Yaakov Avinu is not standing in front of Yitzchak or Avram. They're both not alive. He's not bringing that. He doesn't have a pot of food, and now he has a halachic question. Who should he bring the food to? To his father Yitzchak or his grandfather Avraham? He's davening. And the question is, who should he have in mind he's davening to? To the God of his father Avraham, or to the God of his grandfather, to the God of his father Yitzchak, or to the God of his grandfather Avraham? Where does Kibud Avaim come in terms of a person's personal tefillah? What's Rashi saying? I understand the person has to honor his father more than his grandfather. That's why if you have a piece of meat, you bring it to your father, not your grandfather. But Yaakov's not serving food. Yaakov is praying. Where does Kibud Avaim come into davening? I think we see from Rashi the following principle. That whenever a person davens, he always has to identify in his mind, who is he davening to? And you could be mechabed your parents when you daven by thinking, I'm davening to the God of my father and mother. Even if you think that more than you think that I'm davening to the God of my grandfather, you're being mechabed your father that way, and you're mechuyev in terms of your amida betfila to be mechavin, I'm standing before Elokei Avi. So we see from Rashi a few chidushim. We see that even when a person is mispalel, he's mekayim kibud av. provided that his kavana is, I'm standing before Elokei Avi. It's a chiddush nifla. I never thought about that. That a person could do a mitzvah, even bein adam la'makayim, but they need to be mechavein, I'm doing it for the Ribbono Shel Olam, who, by the way, he's Elokei Avi. And by doing so, you're mekayim kibarav. Okay, one more chiddush. Mem vav lamed. So when Yosef meets Yaakov, Yosef kisses Yaakov. What does Yaakov do to Yosef? Nothing. Rashi says, Chazal tell us, because Yaakov was what? He was saying Shema. What's the very next pasuk? Vayomer Yisrael, Yaakov says, Amusa hapam, now I could die. What did Yaakov mean, now I could die? Rashi says, simple pshat is like Targum. Now that you're alive, if I would die now, I would be consoled, at least I saw you. Or Rashi says, I thought I would die twice. Because when I get up to Shemayim, Hashem's going to say, why'd you let your son get killed? But now that you're alive, I'll only die once. But I think we could add another idea. In the pasuk right before Yaakov says, now I could die, he said Shema. Now we know, the Shulchan Aruch says that when one says Shema, they should be mechavin, that if ever put to the ultimate test, they would give up their life al kiddush Hashem. So it means when a person says Shema, one should think that they're being moiser nefesh al kiddush Hashem. Yaakov said, now that I saw you, so then the Kriya Shema that I just said is finally with the proper kavana that I know that I was on the Madrega, that during my Kriya Shema I was Moiser Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem in the fullest possible capacity. In other words, I think there's a very strong connection with the fact that in the previous Pasuk Yaakov Avinu says Shema, and he immediately, Yaakov Avinu says, now I could die. Meaning now I could die, my Kriya Shema was in its fullest capacity. I had the perfect kavana that I was mechavein to give up myself al kiddush Hashem. Okay, so those are just some thoughts on Parshas Vayigash. And now I'm going to give you your favorite time of the week, the imponderables on Parshas Vayigash. 1 minute.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.